It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, off and running on this 21st day of September 2021, 9-21-21. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you also go if you should happen to want to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. If you pop in right now, you'll be met by early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, while in fact he is a third stage guild navigator, he's a third stage guild navigator with a conscience who doesn't want to take the man cave computer back out into the very heart of the sun. Hi, I'm Robin. Sparky says just a few more 90 degree days, I hope. We are on our way fresh out of summer. We're getting terribly, terribly close, I'm afraid. And I'm gonna try not to get all bummed out about it. Yeah. The autumnal equinox is tomorrow at 3:20 p.m., as a matter of fact. So, enjoy this. The last, come on, Robin, you can do it. Be upbeat. Enjoy this, the last day of summer. 2021, the days after this, well, tomorrow's the equinox. That means we get an equal day amount of day and night, and after that, each day grows, daylight grows progressively shorter until somewhere around the 22nd or so of December, at which point in time the planet will wobble once again, and the northern hemisphere will wobble back toward the light of the sun. Yes. And these 90 days coming up are everything is different this autumn, because I don't know, it just feels like there may be so much more warmth and light. I don't know why. Well, hello Anatole. Anatole saying hello, Ms. Robin. Hello Anatole. Every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we send out thanks to our 21st day of the month subscribers on PayPal. And that means thank you to Kat, and thank you to David in San Diego. Thank you so very much to Harold, President and CEO of Sochtris, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. In point of fact, we need to adjust. It was so we actually have a we've got a fundraising goal underneath $1,000. It was going to be $1,000. It was going to be $1,035. But thanks to David and Kat, it's actually $1,000. Or it's not $1,000. It's actually $990. So that's wonderful. Thank you for knocking it down like you did there. So that's what we've got. We've got $990 to go. That's today and yesterday and Friday and $90 of Thursday. So maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll knock out last week's funding, the last little bits of it today. We could do that if we raise $390. Mm-hmm. At any rate, thank you all for keeping the program on the air. You're why there are no ads for Buy Gold Now or any of that other bilious, the horrible crap. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. I want to start with a note from our pal Larry in Liberalville. Here are a few personal observations. How angry would the self-righteous conservatives get if we had a T-shirt that said "I survived COVID-45, the Trump variant"? I think GOP now stands for Government Overthrow Psychopaths. That's PSYCHOPHANTS, psychopaths. Government Overthrow Psychopaths. That's a cowbell. Mm-hmm. Texas incubator tort, tit law. Oh, that's another one. Implies that fetuses are wards of the state and must be carried to term, although the state will provide no services or assistance for health care or development of the child once born. Ectopic pregnancies and miscarriages, be damned. Persons who aid in a process which leads to an abortion are subject to penalties and fines, even though the person getting the abortion is not guilty of a crime. I assume this is true until Roe versus Wade can be undone. So how is assisting someone who has not committed a crime, but how is that a criminal act? If the Texas law is upheld, can we start shuttering law libraries? Finally, this month, September, the number 76 carries a special significance. So I'd like to propose a sequence of challenges. I will offer a matching challenge of $111 per night for 8 consecutive shows. That is $888, and 2 times that is $1,776. So if the challenges can be met, you should get close to 6 shows of income. And in the spirit of the 1776 revolution, I would like to promote the phrase independence through unity. I know you don't like to barker for funds, but I'm hoping you can lure in some new contributors. Or is that a big problem at this time of the year? If you have an alternate scenario, let me know. So here we go. We are off on a massive fundraising challenge. One of the largest ever. Here we are. There is $888 in challenges for each of the next, over the course of each of the next 8 shows. $111 per evening. So there's $111 challenge on the table tonight, courtesy of Larry in Liberalville. Wow, Larry, that's amazing. Thank you so, oh my God, thank you so very kindly. That is tremendous. So the next $111 that rolls in actually gets doubled to $222. The same number as a semi-famous ABC TV series of the late 60s, early 70s, right? Yeah? Room 222? Wasn't that the launch pad for the star turn of one Karen Valentine? Oh, dear God, this is going to be worse than the Bullwinkle conversation last night. But anyway... $111 in challenges, and we add to that a $25 challenge courtesy of Ralphs, the Please Help a Girl Out challenge of $25. Thank you, Ralphs. So $25 gets doubled as well, and what we're trying to do is wipe out this deficit and hopefully make it possible for me to pay not only the regular bills of the month, but keep my health insurance. So that everything that's supposed to happen in November is able to happen in November. As Steve in New York says, the Larry in Liberalville's Strength Through Unity Challenge. Now, this is actually Titanic-ness. Yeah, this is not a destructive iceberg. This is an iceberg of hope, an iceberg upon which we can all fling our little ice axes and climb up with our little ropes and sit there and wait until the rescue happens. Yes. Thank you. That's very, very true, Steve. Thank you, Larry. Thank you so much. So, 111 plus 25, that's 136 in challenges this evening. And that would get us close to wiping out last week's deficit. 126, that's 252, and that's 100, and I know we hate hearing me do the ciphering. Don't tell me about the calculator. That's cheating. This is good for my brain. It's like Sudoku or crossword puzzles or something. 252... That's $138 from being done with last week, if we can just raise it. So thank you. Thank you, Larry in Liberalville, and thank you, Ralphs, with the Strength Through Unity Challenge and the Help a Girl Out Challenge. Girl needs the help. Girl does. I don't know why. Steve says it sounds better than it has sounded in a while. Did you get one of those highfalutin dispensopal flageolet Knuten valve combos? No, maybe it's just because... It's a little cooler in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. It's actually a little too cool for naked radio. It's all of 74 degrees in here, and the box fan is roaring in the window. And but it rained a little today, and it's just more pleasant and more comfortable. Okay. I got the other message, Steve, so we're good there. Let's see here. 45s would be triggered by such a shirt. Stockton Larry pointing out there, I survived COVID 45. it would be okay. But, and this being Titanic Tuesday, I wanted to start with something that I heard from Chris in Germany. You're going to want the hockey puck for this. This is because what this is, it's a comment or a quote from a story over at Daily Kos. That one time that liberals convinced conservatives to kill themselves by begging them to live. Some idiot from that website that rhymes with light and fart wrote, and No, Jack. The fan is at the same level. I don't know what's going on here. Everything's pretty much the same. But it maybe well, I guess maybe I've got the mic potted up a little. Well, it's all the way up to 11. The mic is, and I've got it angled a little differently. So maybe that's what I did. Thank you, thank you, Jack. You can hear it if I'm quiet, right? See, she said, having hosted a radio program for almost two decades. See. God. Here's the idiot from that website that rhymes with light and fart. And this being Titanic Tuesday, which is a day when we take note of titanic manifestations of what passes for right-wing intellect. Get the hockey puck, get it strapped in real good, because otherwise you'll just shoot it across the room. I've been doing some research about things that I'm going to be doing, beginning about 5 days after, November the 14th forward for the rest of my life, and some things do get shot across the room, especially when sneezing. Never mind. Here's the quote, and I admit, I think I'm kind of vamping, because... It was not easy to read the first time around, the second time around, and the third, the fourth, the fifth, and here we are, and it still makes my brain hurt. Yeah. So just try to deal with this as best you can, because it is Titanic Tuesday. If I wanted to use reverse psychology, let's not clown around with this, because this is a serious right-wing thinker writing serious right-wing thinking things. If I wanted to use reverse psychology to convince people not to get a life-saving vaccination, I would do exactly what Howard Stern and the left are doing. I had no idea that Howard Stern led the left. Howard Stern and the left, or is Howard Stern part of the left? Is he leading the left? I don't know. This is the kind of crap that you run across when you're dealing with titanic right-wing intellect. Full steam ahead into that, full steam ahead into that there iceberg. We're gonna give it what for. If I wanted to use reverse psychology to convince people not to get a life-saving vaccination, I would do exactly what Howard Stern and the left are doing. I would bully and taunt and mock and ridicule you for not getting vaccinated, knowing the human response would be, hey, fuck you, I'm never getting vaccinated. See, here's the first flaw in this attempt at reasoning. Oh, this is lovely. Stockton Larry in the chat. It's never a bad day when you get a Little Big Man reference. One of my favorite films. That fool's never seen Little Big Man and Custer talking reverse psychology, you think? Yeah, you want me to go down into that valley. So you're going to tell me not to, but I am going to use Custer reasoning to realize that that means that you want me to, and therefore attack. Yeah. Oh, wait, this is a cowbell. We're going to get through this story. I promise, honest to Jesus, we are. But this is a cowbell. Brother Usher Steve says, new Titanic Tuesday slogan, them's fake brains. And that's Brames, B-R-A-I-M-S, Steve. Them's fake brains. Them's fake babes. Yes, they are. I'm growing my own as quick as I can. Oh, by the way, program note. I meant to mention this at the beginning of the program, but we're close enough for government work. No program Thursday. And the reason for that, I will be part of there's a phenomenon called the Human Library Project, and I will be part of a Human Library Project on Thursday evening. And in a Human Library Project, people telling their life stories serve as books. So I'm a book. And on Thursday, I will be a book in a Human Library Project, and I'm looking forward to it. And I really appreciate the kindness of the invitation, and so I will be away from the mic, but I'll be back for Friday on the front porch. Let's see, where were we? Oh yes, I would bully and taunt and mock and ridicule you for not getting vaccinated, knowing the human response would be, "Hey, fuck you, I'm never getting vaccinated." Now, this is a flaw in the Titanic intellect attempt at reasoning. Most people do not respond that way. It is not, in fact, a human response. It is a maggot response. It's a classically authoritarian response to that runs counter to anti-authority. Oh, dear, I'm getting lost. But no, that's not a human response. That's just a maggot response. And then the organized left. What left? Ooh. Yeah, the organized left. Thank you, Stockton Larry. We have the reverse psychology scene from Little Big Man.
Well, what's your answer, Muleskin?
General?
You go down there.
You're advising me to go into the coulee?
Yes, sir.
There are no Indians there, I suppose.
I didn't say that. There are thousands of Indians down there. And when they get done with you, there won't be nothing left but a greasy spot. This ain't the Washita River, General. And them ain't helpless women and children waiting for you. The Cheyenne Brave and Sioux. You go down there if you got the nerve.
Still trying to outsmart me, aren't you, Mule Skinner? You want me to think that you don't want me to go down there, but the subtle truth is you really don't want me to go down there. Well, are you reassured now, Major?
Precisely, precisely. And Richard Mulligan, who went on to a wonderful turn in Soap, playing General Custer there. He goes on, not really a spoiler, the movie's been out since, what, 1969? He's standing there during the Battle of the Little Bighorn, bullets and arrows flying all around him, and he's completely lost his mind, and he's screaming at the General Ulysses Grant, or President Ulysses Grant, who exists solely between his ears. Mr. President, you're drunk! Yeah. Great, great, great movie. And incidentally, a sweet and kind portrayal of transness. Mm-hmm. Little horse. The Himani. Like I saw that when I was very young, and I was like, "Oh, wait, what?" Uh-huh. Back to the guy from the website that rhymes with light and fart. The organized left still can't get past that with the organized left. We have meetings and shit. The organized left is deliberately putting unvaccinated Trump supporters in an impossible position where they can either not get a life-saving vaccine or can feel like cucks caving to the ugliest, smuggest bullies in the world. Yeah, it's having the same impact on Flavio that it had on me. Flavio had subject line, Howard Stern. I used to think he was funny, and then I grew up. The organized left. That's an oxymoron if I ever heard one, like military intelligence or jumbo shrimp. Yeah. They can either not get a life-saving vaccine or can feel like cucks caving to the ugliest, smuggest bullies in the world. Yeah, that's it. Because that's what you're supposed to feel. If you actually get a vaccine that's going to save your life from a deadly virus, then you just, as soon as the needle goes into your arm and the liquid barcode laden 5G transmitting magnetic serum enters your body, then immediately, well, you're no longer able to, well, you know, and you just have to go home hanging your head in your masked face in shame saying, I'm such a cuck. No, Jack, no. Jack in Shreveport says, okay, is this from The Onion? This is feeling like a spoof. No, it's not. This is, I've got a link and everything. It comes from Daily Kos. That one time that liberals convinced conservatives to kill themselves by begging them to live. Yeah, it's for real. I mean, because it comes from the wonderful world of you cannot make this shit up. The Daily Kos staff wrote this one. You know how the conservatives claim to be the party of personal responsibility? Obviously it's a crock, but at the very least it's fun to see the extremes they go to in refusing responsibility for their own actions. And so the article goes on to point out the redder the county, the higher the death toll. And so the quotes I've been reading are from some titanic intellect by the name of John Nolte of that website that rhymes with light and fart. So we let's see, where were we? We were the human response would be, hey, fuck you, I'm never getting vaccinated. You know, because that website that rhymes with light and fart is so gosh darned edgy. And why is that a perfectly human response? Because no one ever wants to feel like they're being bullied or ridiculed or mocked or pushed into doing anything. But how can you be bullied if there's no actual bullying going on? if it's actually begging and pleading out of a purely altruistic sense, because look, I mean, I'll say it out loud. In general, life in this country would be monumentally better without maggots. Don't fire up John Lennon's piano in the background, tinkling away. No, but imagine, if you will, a United States of America where we can do great things, big things, smart things. Well, we are not that America, and we are never going to be that America as long as the maggots we have always with us. I mean, consider the fact that Moscow Mitch McConnell, doing his master's bidding, you know, over in Mother Russia, all those sweet, sweet rubles continue to sing to the innermost heart of Mitch McConnell. He's doing Moscow's bidding by saying, we will let the government default on its debt obligations because that's America. And then because we have a compliant media that will cooperate with us all the time, we will blame the default on the Democrats that we actually caused. How about that? Because, see, a resolution to not go into default is going to require, once it gets out of the House of Representatives, it'll require 10 Republican senators to actually go along with it. And we've done the try to find 10 Republican senators things in the past now, haven't we? And how did that work out? Yeah. Well, imagine an America where we could, where we didn't have to worry about such things as that. And along the way, imagine an America that is not so stupid that 102 years later, let's call it 100 years, imagine an America that is not so paralyzed by its own stupidity that 100 years after a flu pandemic in a much less technologically advanced time wiped out a significant portion of the American population, you know, 600,000 or so, in the flu pandemic of 1918, the dirty Kansas pig farmer flu. Dirty white Kansas pig farmer, I should add. Well, we surpassed in the last day or so, in an era and in a time, and when we've done things like put people on the moon, Whitey, and we've got frisbees and wheat checks, and 762 channels and nothing on, and everybody and their cousin has a podcast, and we carry computing power in our pockets that NASA would have crawled across ground glass for in 1968, 69. Yeah, right. Well, imagine that culture has so many idiots in it that more people die from a preventable, treatable coronavirus than died of a flu strain 100 years previous. Imagine that self-same country where, in generations past, people lined up for a vaccine against the polio virus, having recognized how much misery and death polio can cause, and there was no politics to it. There was no Democrat, Republican, none of that. People just said, for God's sakes, get the vaccine in me, please. I don't want no polio. And generations later, you can't get people to take a vaccine against a respiratory virus that kills, and that there are more dead from that respiratory virus than there were from the flu pandemic of 1918 et sec. Yeah. Well, there's John Nolte saying that it's a perfectly human response because no one ever wants to feel like they're being bullied or ridiculed or mocked or pushed into doing anything. Quite the titanic intellect, this John Nolte. The organized left is deliberately putting unvaccinated We went through that part. Unvaccinated Trump supporters in an impossible position where they can either not get a life-saving vaccine or can feel like cucks caving to the ugliest, smuggest bullies in the world. Aren't they responsible for those feelings? Because those feelings are not derived from real, actual intellectual processes, but instead are the byproduct of a toxic degree of self-absorbed paranoia on the part of the American white wing. In other words, Nolte continues, I sincerely believe the organized left, there's that organized left again, you know who organized it? George Soros. That's who organized it. Yep, yep. Bill Gates! Bill Gates organized it by sending out meeting notices through his 5G network into the liquid barcodes floating around in the bloodstreams of Americans who took the vaccine and now have no choice but to comply and not get the coronavirus. Right. I sincerely believe the organized left is doing everything in its power to convince Trump supporters not to get the life-saving Trump vaccine. See, Nolte's trying to use some psychology too by calling it the Trump vaccine. Because a few months back, people were saying, go ahead, call it the Trump vaccine for all we care. Call it that. I mean, he got it, after all. I mean, call it the Trump vaccine. He took the vaccine. Melanoma took the vaccine. Call it the Trump vaccine. I'm sure Little Princess Iwanka and Don Jr., Trader Tot, and Eric the Dumber, they all had the vaccine. Call it the Trump vaccine if it makes you... But for God's sakes, please get the vaccine. And the maggots sat back and said, ha, 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 that's just what you want us to think. I sincerely believe that the organized left is doing everything in its power to convince Trump supporters not to get the life-saving Trump vaccine. I'm sorry. Yes, you are. I'm sorry, but people willing to drone strike 7 children and who are eager to unleash terrorists like Antifa and Black Lives Matter into our cities are sociopaths. That John Nolte, he's a clever one. Yeah, I mean, this is the Simpsons episode where Homer declares, I'm not licking toads. Yes. Can't evade that now, can we? The left's morality is guided only by that which furthers their fascist agenda. Wait, we're the left, and yet we're fascists. I don't know about you, but my brains is beginning to hurt. I'm a commie leftist. But I'm a right-wing fascist. As that noted philosopher Daffy Duck was known to periodically utter, Mother. The left's morality is guided only by that which furthers their fascist agenda, and so using reverse psychology to trick Trump supporters not to get a life-saving vaccine is to them a moral good. The more of us who die... the better.
Damn it. They figured us out. John Nolte is a super genius. Yes, he is.
But the patriotic maggots out there, they know better. They know not to take the Trump vaccine. See, this is reverse psychology. You need an odd number of reverses, because he's thinking that people will read it, and then maybe it'll be republished as a quote in, say, I don't know, Daily Kos, and then the organized left will hear it, and the organized left will say, I regret getting it now that it's the Trump vaccine. Oh, my Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, I know. The Ralph says, maybe the author of that reverse psychology should have included the I dare you language. I triple dog dare you. Indeed, Ralph, indeed. subject line, organized left. Billable Rick says, you failed to mention the role of the Jewish space lasers in organizing the left. Well, I mean, It's like the pillar of fire in the Old Testament during the Exodus. The Jewish space lasers beam a beam down to Earth, and we know which direction in which to travel. And we all know that data can also be can be transmitted by laser. So it's probably speaking to our liquid barcodes at this very instant moment. Yes, this very instant. God, it's so devious. Stephen New York says, bullying maggots into taking a vaccine. Go with me here. Maybe we should bully them into voting Republican, knowing they will do the opposite of what we're mocking them for. Democratic landslide, end of discussion. You are far too devious for your own good. Yeah. Jack and Shreveport says, they don't want to be forced or bullied into doing something. They don't have a problem at all with their evangelical preachers threatening them with hell or yelling at them to do whatever the church scam right wing wants them to do. So there's that little flaw in their argument. Yeah, I know. Imagine reading that for the first time. I think it was almost very nearly devastating to Chris in Germany. The article at Daily Coast going on to note, I'll give Nolte credit for one thing. He's a rare conservative voice that gets the dangers posed by COVID and is trying to get his tribe to take it seriously and stop dying. But he's a conservative, an editor-at-large at Breitbart, which has conditioned its readers to distrust pretty much anything that doesn't come out of Donald Trump's mouth. And the one thing he is not going to say is, for fuck's sake, get the vaccine. No, I'm not going to say that anymore, because the last time I said that, they booed me. It was like Florida or Georgia or somewhere, and they booed me. I don't like being booed. You know what? If you boo me, I don't want to be your friend anymore, because I live in seventh grade world. Jesus. And then, since we had reference to Little Big Man, Lee in New York reminds me of this classic, because this is so. This is along the same lines as what Richard Mulligan was doing in Little Big Man as Custer. Yeah. Let's be ready. Yeah, here we go. Oh, wrong one. Let's go to the right device. I got a bit ahead of myself there. Where are you? Come on. Ah, there we go.
It is odorless, tasteless, dissolves instantly in liquid, and is among the more deadly poisons known to man.
Huh. Iocane powder. The wine goblets.
Where is the poison? The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide and we both drink and find out who is right and who is dead.
But it's so simple. All I have to do is divine from what I know of you. Are you the sort of man who would put the poison into his own goblet or his enemies? Now, a clever man would put the poison into his own goblet because he would know that only a great fool would reach for what he was given. I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool. You would have counted on it, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You've made your decision, then?
Not remotely. Because Iocane comes from Australia, as everyone knows. And Australia is entirely peopled with criminals. And criminals are used to having people not trust them, as you are not trusted by me, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going! Where was I?
Australia.
Yes, Australia. And you must have suspected I would have known the powder's origin, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're just stalling now.
You'd like to think that, wouldn't you? You've beaten my giant, which means you're exceptionally strong. So you could have put the poison in your own goblet, trusting on your strength to save you, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you've also bested my Spaniard, which means you must have studied. And in studying, you must have learned that man is mortal, so you would have put the poison as far from yourself as possible, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're trying to trick me into giving away something. It won't work.
It has worked! You've given everything away! I know where the poison is!
Then make your choice.
I will! And I choose... What in the world can that be?
What? Where? I don't see anything.
Oh, well, I could have sworn I saw something. No matter.
What's so funny?
I'll tell you in a minute. First, let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
You guessed wrong.
You only think I guessed wrong. That's what's so funny. I switched glasses when your back was turned. Ha ha, you fool. You fell victim to one of the classic blunders.
Yes.
Is never get involved in a land war in Asia. But only slightly less well known is this. Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
And dead. Oh, good call, good call.
I have no one to be trifled with. That is all you ever need know.
To think, all that time it was Shortcut that was poisoned.
They were both poisoned. I spent the last few years building up an immunity to Iocane powder.
Yeah. What in the world? And there we have it. That example after example of the titanic intellect of the maggot white wing in this country. Or we could just as easily go to Daffy Duck and Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny and Pronoun Trouble. He does not have to shoot me now. He does not have to take me home and shoot me later. He can shoot me now, and I say, shoot me now. Yeah. It's also, says Randy in PA, Groucho in horse feathers. Whatever you're for, I'm against it. Precisely. But in this case, it's deadly. Yeah. I get that one, Jack. That's kind of gnar, but I get it. And, by the way, Jeremy in Vermont says, 91 days until I can zoom around in the fields and woods. I can't wait. It's a long year. Y'all can have the rest of the year. This is my part of the year. Well, but, I mean, it's there's no zooming yet. The snow's got to fall there in Vermont. And enjoy it while it still does, because climate change is a real thing. Not trying to rain, well, snow, well, no, rain on your parade. But I get your point, Jeremy. And, by the way, COVID update for 9/20/21. At this rate, by the first full week of October, maybe the start of the second, we will, as a nation, cross the 700,000 dead and gone from COVID mark. Good God. And to think, it didn't have to be this way. No, it didn't. 677,000 Americans dead. And as noted on Moran Monday, yesterday, lo and behold, Dr. Tin Pot, Crack Penny, Pennyweight, I don't know, has 2 years worth, 2 years more of medical license thanks to the Ohio Medical Licensing Board. Chilling, I'm telling you, chilling. But that seemed an entirely appropriate place to begin the program. I understand Chris in Germany's sentiment. She said they're hopeless. They're useless. If they're so determined to die, let them. And they will continue. And it's just the fact that they're taking decent people with them. I have a dear friend right now, if she is listening, I want to wish her well in her recovery. Fully vaccinated, and has a breakthrough infection. I hope you get to feeling better real, real soon. As Chris in Germany pointed out, the maggots are incapable of learning, and they've been in this pressure cooker of COVID and Trumpism for years, and therefore they are probably past anything resembling hope. And it's so sad. It is just so sad. And I wonder, you know, there are some vaccinated maggots. I know that for a fact. And I kind of wonder John Nolte there at Daily Coast sort of blew past that. There are a significant number, I would dare say, of vaccinated maggots. And so how are they living with their day-to-day cuckness of survival? Do you get up, if you're a vaccinated maggot, do you get up every morning and say to yourself, damn, why did I have to get that vaccine and live? I could be dead like so many other maggot brothers and sisters. I feel like such a cuck. Good God. And I know that within this community, we know maggots. We certainly do. Maybe if you can sort of bark and grunt and squeak at them in that language, that maggot language that they speak, maybe do a little informal survey and just find out how it feels for them to know that they bowed to the will of the bully organized left. Organized left. Yeah, that is still good. It sure is. So that's a starting place. A starting place for this Titanic Tuesday. Of course, it is by no means the stopping place. No, that was just a little something to get the evening going, right? And we are almost done with the first hour of the program, about 10 minutes left of it. That's not a time check, it's just noting. And we have $126 in challenges on the table, which at this point in time are zero responded to. And I hope it's not going to remain that way. Because this is a no-kidding kind of thing. It is literally, it's kind of a question. It's an existential question for the Horn. Every month is an existential question for the Horn. We exist on a month-to-month basis. And it's kind of existential for me, too. We've never faced bills like we're facing right now, this humongous health insurance bill. And there's not a damn thing I can do about it. I could either pay it or not have health insurance. And if I don't have health insurance, well, in many ways, that's potentially the end of me. And unlike the maggots, I am not a member of a suicide cult. So, you know, that. Other Titanic intellects, they had a We the People reunion in Powderly, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And some of the biggest maggots in maggot world were on hand when it was being announced. WFIE Channel 14 News said, the event is hosting speakers such as the CEO of MyPillow, Mike Lindell, former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, and Pastor Greg Locke, who has in the past admitted to being at the Capitol during the January 6th Capitol riot. So it was a big deal. Promoters said they expected crowds of around 10,000 people. Fewer than 300 were at the event when News 14 arrived. Oops. Yeah. Here's the reporting in question.
But we start with a rally in Powderly at the Ag Center in Muhlenberg County. The We the People reunion, as it's called, started today. It's a conservative event.
This is precious. They've got B-roll footage of a car with writing on the windshield in sort of purplish pink. Trump won! Exclamation point. Biden is a cheater! B-I. And it's a capital B and a little I and a capital D-A-N. I don't know why they put a little... Biden is a cheater! B-I-D-A-N. A-N. Yes. Obama is the Antichrist. Biden is a cheater. Biden!
And hosting speakers such as the CEO of MyPillow, Mike Lindell.
Mr. Meth Pillow.
National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. And Pastor Greg Locke, who has in the past said that he was at the Capitol during the January 6th riot. Promoters said they expected crowds of about 10,000 people. Well, fewer than 300 were there. 14 News was allowed in the parking lot to shoot some video, but we were later asked to leave the fairgrounds. Any attempts we've made to speak with local leaders and event organizers have been denied. We did speak.
Yeah. Now, well, it was funny because no coolers, no backpacks, no firearms, no ammunition. Yeah. How about that? That's some freedom they got there, that freedom. No ammunition. Yeah. 300 diehards, hard cases, dead enders showed up for a We the People reunion. Only there wasn't much. Maybe they were all dead from COVID. Yeah, I know. It's just who they are. But remember Squidney Powell, one of Trump's insurrectionist lawyers. She did an interview with Andrew Womack, who is a faith healer. And of course, when you do the faith healer interview, you have to talk about some experience that you've had with the demon-haunted world, right? She is continuing to double down on basically the shitposting she did on in regard to Dominion voting systems, and she's teetering on the brink of disbarment for her actions. But speaking to Andrew Womack, faith healer, she explained that, there are still supernatural forces at work on her behalf.
Yeah, we're hearing about that in the State Department right now with respect to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And how they're opposing, they can't even get anything to change. It doesn't matter. The folks in the State Department, the deep state, are opposing the humanitarian efforts there. It's just craziness.
That's insane. Every one of them needs to be fired.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think was so good under President Trump was how many appellate court judges that he appointed. Is there any hope of this thing turning around, or how embedded is this? How do we deal with this?
Well, I mean, just look at the failure of the Supreme Court to deal with any of these cases that were on their docket before January 6th. We had three cases there on emergency basis. We had filed three cases. We represented electors that are named in the Constitution. There is absolutely no doubt we had standing. If we didn't have...
Well, actually, there is a doubt that you had standing because a court of competent jurisdiction ruled that you didn't have standing. I mean, I know the logic is a little circular, but... The court is who gets to rule on whether you have standing or not. And pretty much all the way up, they said, nope, no standing.
Standing, then no one ever has any standing to deal with one
not
of these
true.
Cases. And, it would just be a mockery of the entire system for that to be true. And so we had three cases there on emergency basis. The court ignored them and let them sit until after January 6th and then dismissed them as moot. even though there's a doctrine called capable of repetition yet evading review, that if you don't deal with it now, it's going to happen again. So there were any number of ways that they could have and should have addressed the issues we raised with 900 pages of affidavits and statistical evidence.
Yeah, I mean, they could have. There were other methods. I mean, they could have done it with trial by combat or to see if Sidney Powell weighs the same as a duck. But those are generally not accepted tests of legality within the American court system. And I guess the Squidney would like it if they were.
Evidence and mathematical impossibilities that showed fraud, and they didn't touch it. And how many of them were Trump appointees? Three.
Wow.
Well,
three. The magic number three, just like God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit's three, and yet they are one. There was only one Trump-appointed lawyer, brethren and sister, and you heard her say it.
Cindy, I remember when the cases were going on, one of the Trump lawsuits was in I don't recall which district in Pennsylvania, but it went up to the Third Circuit there, and the Third Circuit issued a pretty tough rebuke of the president's lawyers, criticizing the briefing. It was really hard hitting. What happened there? And those were Trump appointee judges in the majority in that circuit. Can you tell us the story of that?
I think what we are dealing with here is pervasive and very, very dark.
Well, I don't know about light or dark. I mean, but when it comes to chicken and turkey and stuff, I prefer dark. But as to pervasive, well, the rule of law is supposed to be pervasive in this country. There's no getting around it. Because when you don't have the rule of law being pervasive, you don't have, well, a rule of law.
It's organized. It's well-funded. It's pure evil. They are willing to kill people, a la Kelly Loeffler's aide in Georgia, who was suddenly blown up in his car on the way to a rally for her.
Blown up.
He happened to be dating Governor Kemp's daughter. Governor Kemp was considering, a signature audit. And then the Georgia Bureau of Investigation agent who was investigating that, he was the lead investigator, was suddenly dead.
Maybe it's the same people who did in Vince Foster. Ooh, there's a very long ago reference, yes. And by the way, in regard to Sasquatch Powell, Stephen New York says, she did not represent any electors. The states had already chosen their electors. Calling a group of people electors doesn't make them electors. What I find extremely disturbing is that they make no bones about thinking that Trump-appointed lawyers were there to simply rule for Trump. Trump-appointed judges, that is. Yeah, it's all transactional to them. If you're at the strip joint, and you give the dancer a $5 bill, she is supposed to at least dance a few bars right in front of your face. That's the very essence of transactional transactions. Yeah. By the way, thank you, Henry. Henry just jumped in on fundraising, getting us started this evening. Thank you, Henry, so much. Ralph's challenge. The Help a Girl Out challenge has been met. So now we've got $111 to go on the first of 811 challenges, the Freedom Through Unity challenge from Larry in Liberalville. Thank you, Larry. Thank you. And hopefully we'll get started on that, seeing as how we're right at the end of the first hour of the program.
Within a week. And suddenly we don't hear anything else about any of that. We are talking about trillions of dollars of global wealth at issue here. The leadership and control of the most powerful country on the face of the earth. Known.
Come on, you can say it. Say it, Squidney. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe under God. Get it right, sister.
People out there who want to destroy us and have been working to create what I call the apocalypse hoax with the response to COVID and every other problem we've had for the last 4 years at least, doing everything they could to undermine the Trump administration.
Come on, Squidney. Call people who get the vaccine a cuck. Do it. Do it. I can't. I'm living for it.
Administration, because they want to destroy the middle class. They want to turn us into a totalitarian communist.
I kind of liked it better when it was totalitarian. A totalitarian, a Halcon totalitarian.
Yeah.
Totalitarian. Is that, I mean, is that bigger than a Detroit-style pizza? It's the totalitarian pizza.
Right, yeah. Jesus.
Fascist state that they control for their own power and wealth. That is the bottom line. And it is very real. We are seeing it more every day. And that's what we're fighting. And they have far.
By the way, in the background, Squidney Powell here has a Wonder Woman cartoon. Like a, you know, just a panel of.
Yeah. Far more control over people in government and high places than anybody wants to acknowledge.
Well, Sydney, you saying things like this, has there been threats on your life?
Oh, I get threatened regularly.
And you seem
She laughs. She laughs. Yeah, she gets threatened. By whom? The organized left? Oh, I don't care who you are. That's funny. Yeah. Jeremy with a note on Squidney Powell. Until I see some fucking watermelons exploding due to guns, I don't believe a damn word she says. Going back to, right. Who was the congressman from, what was it, Talibandiana, who shot watermelons in his backyard to prove that Hillary wasted Vince Foster? Well played memory there, Jeremy. Well played.
To handle it so well. Do you have personal security, or what do you do?
I keep angels on my shoulders. God Amen. Did not give me a spirit of fear.
Oh, angels on her shoulders. And curiously enough, they're dressed like Fred Flintstone and George Jetson. Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell
just
you what, I
just didn't come in the package. I mean, you know, a number of things came in the package, but that is not one of them.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you standing strong. We need more people like you.
Amen. Well, the 900 pages of material attached to this case, as you referred to that a couple times, where can people get to that? Is that public record?
Now, see, I want to point something out here. There is no way that Andrew Womack or whoever his little sidekick is there have gone through these alleged 900 pages. It is simply not possible. But what they do have is a pitch from a right-wing publicist who hustled Sidney Womack onto the, or Sidney, Squidney Powell, onto the Andrew Womack program. Yeah, okay? And it comes with a prepackaged little list of questions to ask Ms. Squidney when she appears on your right, on your right-wing paranoid fantasy hustle. Mm-hmm. Right. That's why he asked that question the way he did, because he was reading it directly from the interview tip sheet.
Yes, they're on my website at sydneypowell.com, and they're on our website defendingtherepublic.org.
Because the whole purpose of this is to pitch those two seedy, shitty, skeevy little websites. Because the publicist was hired by Squidney Powell to do that. And so they make it sound like it's part just, oh, you know, just a couple of old buddies sitting there. You know what? These three would not recognize each other if they passed within inches of each other on the street. Yeah. Oh, yeah, why did he have to shoot the watermelons? Flavio pointing out, it's because the congressman never heard of Gallagher and the Sledge-O-Matic. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. A little tiny jingle for the reference to Gallagher, who I guess is he's still doing his shtick? I think we went through that one evening.
Which, like your organization, is a C4 nonprofit that we are using to litigate not only the election issues, defending ourselves from the billions of dollars of suits brought by Dominion and Smartmatic and Eric Coomer, but also to fight the COVID vaccine. We've got a number of high-profile cases coming with respect to that, and also to represent January 6th defendants who have been treated worse than Guantanamo terrorists.
Wait, what? What? The January 6th defendants? Oh, my God, they're making the QAnon shame and eat prison cheese. They're treating them... Really, they've been kept awake for 24, 36, 48, 72 hours at a time by the Barney theme blared at them at 150 decibels? That they've had that done, Squidney? It's been treated worse than... Yeah. As for the difference between light and dark, Darlene in Connecticut with a photograph of the Kraken rum. Now that's dark. Light will not penetrate the Kraken rum. It absolutely will not. That is indeed dark. It is the dark side of rum, in fact. It's actually darker than the molasses from which it's made. Maybe because I don't know, there's like an event horizon right at the meniscus of the... Well, how many radio programs have the word meniscus in them? Really? But right at the meniscus of the rum, there's an event, and it just sucks in the light. Yeah. Thank you, Darlene. Oh, thank you. Thank you to Jack in Shreveport. Jack just knocked out... not quite half of the Strength Through Unity Challenge, courtesy of Larry in Liberalville. So that means there's $61 remaining of that. And that would, what number did we come up with? So there's like 138 plus 139, $199 to finish off last week. But $61 to finish off the challenge. Thank you to our dear sister Jude. There are now $51 to finish off the Strength Through Unity challenge. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so very much. But, you know, I mentioned her mentioning the website, and then, of course, the poor defendant. She's probably fundraising for her own legal defense fund, trying to protect her law license that is hanging by a thread with a claim that somehow or another she's going to defend the political prisoners. And it's a little bit of a problem for her because, you know, of January 6th. They had the Justice for J6 rally on the 18th this past Saturday, and it was almost as big a flop as the... What was that other dumbass, reunion in Powderly, Kentucky that got 300 people when they were expecting 10,000? Did the K-pop fans fuck up the ticketing for that again? Is that what happened? No. And, of course, since they didn't let the journalists in there to the Ag Center at the fairgrounds in Powderly, Kentucky... Oh, no, the 10,000 people were already in there. No, the Justice for J6 rally, they said, they had to modify their message. Now, we're not here for any of the people that are actually in jail and charged with actually attacking the Capitol. We're here for the thousands of innocent Americans who just showed up to support their love of government and haven't been arrested for attacking the Capitol yet. But Squidney's got angels on her shoulders. And she appears on programs like that of Mr. Womack because she knows that, well, she'll be talking to a group of people who aren't exactly discriminating with their donor dollars.
In many ways, there are more than 80 of them that have been kept in solitary confinement in absolute bug-infested holes that no human being should be forced to occupy.
Really? Bug-infested holes? You'd think that... I don't know, Amnesty International might be interested in that. Mob, possibly, yeah, a little bit. And $26 to go, thank you. Thank you to Frank, thank you very kindly. $26 to go now on the Strength
strength through unity, freedom through unity. Yes. Challenge, courtesy of Larry in Liberalville. Thank you, Frank. Lee in New York, Sydney Powell Less. She puts the practice into practicing law. Now, when are you going to get it right, Sydney?
And kept there for months, months. One guy was beaten almost to death. He's blinded in one eye. He was beaten by the guards. We're trying to get emergency medical help for him. We filed that motion Friday night about 10:30 or 11 o'clock. I mean, my little team of six lawyers plus me is...
Oh, come on, Squidney. Say plucky. Refer to your team as a plucky little band, please. God, bug-infested holes, people get their eyes gouged out and their nostrils raped and shit. And you'd think that that America's Sheriff David Clarkey of Milwaukee was running that bug-infested hole. That kind of thing's going on.
Working around the clock on all of these issues, and we intend to get to the bottom of it.
Do you have any hope that it's going to actually change things?
It has to. We cannot let this stand. It just simply cannot.
This will not stand. Oh, there's a blast from the past.
Stand. You cannot have a coup of the greatest country on earth by massive...
In the history of the world, of the universe, forever, today, under God. Yeah, amen.
Obvious, documentable fraud. It just cannot be allowed to stand. The Supreme Court is going to have to step up and fix it, or they will have absolutely no further use in the United States of America. They just, I mean, we've witnessed a complete institutional failure of every institution in our Constitution that was created to protect the rights of individuals.
Well, that's just a word salad is what that is, but it sort of does explain how you wind up with people in a lonely parking lot in Powderly, Kentucky, with pink writing on their rear view window that says, Trump won, Biden is a fraud. What was it? Yeah. Bye, Dan. Yeah. Hey, thank you, Clarence. Clarence has got us down to $1 to go on the Freedom Through Unity Challenge. Thank you, Clarence. And by the way, Clarence asked earlier, angel on her shoulders? If the so-called Christians have angels to watch and protect them, yeah, why do they... Why do they need guns for protection? Just asking. Well, I mean, the angels have guns too, but they only work in the metaphysical realm. So you gotta have a freedom protector for here in the physical realm of this here earth, which is ruled by the devil and his angels. Yes. Smartmatic. Steve notes the ABC in Australia interviewed Sasquatch Powell. It was great. They pointed out that Dominion used Smartmatic software in exactly one county in the U.S. in the 2020 election. One. Yeah, you'll notice she's not doing many more interviews with the ABC of Australia. Mm-mm. No, not at all. Why would Amnesty International care? George Soros owns them. Right. Okay, I forgot about that part. Yeah, because he's up there at the top of the pyramid of the organized left. Yeah. Oh, God, there's so many of them, and so much of stupid. But it's also Tuesday, and we are into the second hour of the program. We are, let's see, what did I say? $139 away from finishing off fundraising for last week. So that's pretty huge. Maybe we can do that, and I'll keep my fingers crossed. Okie dokie. By the way, John in Central PA says, speaking of Gallagher, ever hear the audio of Gallagher walking out on Mark Maron during an interview with him on Maron's podcast for his anti-Semitic material? You can find a clip of it on YouTube. Gallagher is a right-wing bigot asshole. I didn't know that. Thank you for letting us know. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. we are done with we're done with Larry and Liberal Hill's challenge, and we have oh God, 128 bucks to go. Is that it? Yeah, 128 bucks to go to finish last week. Thank you, Brother Deacon. But like I said, it is Tuesday, and that means we have the Green News Report, courtesy of Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. Let's see what they're up to. By the way, if you would like to participate in the program, you know how to reach the program, I trust. The stress line is 844-843-4676. And Skype comes in to Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype, and you're free to jump in on either one of those as we move into the move through the second hour and toward the third hour of the program. Steve says, I'm very pissed. We're even worse at coups and stealing elections than we are at politics. By the way, I've seen quite a bit of homophobic shit on Gallagher, so John in Central PA is dead on right. Oh, and Randy Radar says, I'm getting many appeals to chip in for political fundraising. My response is always the same. Rest assured, I'm working hard to not chip in. Well, there's no more campaign season in Merca. You know, the Canoodleans had an election last night, a national election. Justin Trudeau, his government survived, and the campaign went on for 25 long, tormented days. 25 days. But here, the campaign is always going. Forever and ever now, because it's a great... I'm sorry, that was not a contribution from Brother Deacon Asa. He just let me know, I didn't see the note. That was not from me, that was from my friend Herb Kane in Pizza Heaven. Well, thank you, Herb. And, you know, it's the herbed crust of those heavenly pizzas that makes them so special. Yeah. But like I said, it is Tuesday, and we've got the Green News Report. And if you want to jump in, and we'll do some conversation as soon as we get back from that, you're more than welcome. Let's see what Brad and Desi have.
It's Tuesday, September 21, 2021.
You get too close to a point of no return. We don't have a lot of time. So we have to act. All of us, we have to act, and we have to act now.
Humanity on a catastrophic pathway, new UN report finds. Good news and bad for climate action at the UN General Assembly, plus...
Fire is not going to go away. It's going to keep burning.
Good news and bad for the world's last stand of giant sequoias.
All of that good news... and bad, straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We're all tenants of planet Earth. We are definitely not getting our security deposit back.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I think I'm starting to see why people are annoyed with the United Nations. They keep putting out these reports, and they aren't good news.
No, they are not. First, the bad news. Despite new updated pledges to cut global greenhouse gas emissions under the United Nations Paris Climate Agreement, a new UN report projects the world is poised to rise a catastrophic 2.7 degrees Celsius by the end of the century. Oy. Without major action.
Oy.
That is far above the 2 degrees Celsius target that countries had agreed to. Now, this new report says that's if all of the countries meet their emissions promises that they've made so far. And under current commitments, global emissions are likely to increase by 16% by 2030. Scientists warn governments need to slash global emissions by 45% by 2030 to be on the path to reach carbon neutrality by 2050. Humanity's use of fossil fuels has already heated the planet more than 1 degree Celsius, and we're already seeing its effects in increasingly frequent extreme extreme heat waves, droughts, fires, floods, and rising sea levels. What would a world with 2.7 degrees Celsius of warming look like? Well, here's climate scientist Dr. Michael Mann.
We don't want to find out, and that's why it's so important that, you know, we not kick the can down, you know, the road several decades. We need to make sure that we decarbonize our economy now.
Yes, we do. Again, that report from the UN is based on current pledges from countries around the world. And even with those pledges, it is not going to be enough.
The new UN report was released in conjunction with the annual meeting of world governments at the United Nations General Assembly in New York City. It also finds that wealthy nations have fallen more than $20 billion short of the $100 billion in climate aid that they promised to poorer countries that did not cause man-made climate change. And that has deepened mistrust between nations. As UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson explained at the UN,
it is the developing world that is bearing the brunt of catastrophic climate change in the form of hurricanes and fires and floods and the real long-term economic damage that they face. And yet it's the developed world that over 200 years has put the carbon in the atmosphere that is causing this acceleration of climate change. And so it really is up to us to help them.
Way to go, wealthy and developed countries. Use up all the resources and pull the ladder up after you.
And it matters because climate change is already fueling a wave of migration. A new World Bank report finds that migration is on the rise within countries in East and Central Asia, North Africa, and Eastern Europe due to climate change affecting crop yields and water availability. The researchers project that absent concerted climate and development action, more than 200 million people could be forced to migrate to escape climate change impacts within the next 30 years.
Yeah, good luck. Where are they going to go?
But President Biden, late last week, formally unveiled a new agreement with the European Union to cut global methane emissions by at least 30% by 2030. That could be big because methane, the primary ingredient in natural gas, is a more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide on shorter timescales. And scientists say cutting methane pollution is the single fastest, most effective strategy we have to slow the rate of warming. Finally, in California, the bad news is that the state's relentless wildfire season is second only to last year's record-setting wildfire season. Worse, the extent of this year's fires is already bigger than where we were this time last year. But the good news, in California's Sequoia National Park, thanks to aggressive firefighting and decades of intense forest management, fire crews so far have been able to defend the ancient giant trees from the massive KNP complex wildfire. And according to Sequoia National Park's chief scientist, Dr. Christy Brigham, on a recent broadcast, there is a lot that the public can do to help save this forest for future generations.
Climate change, that is at the root of this problem, and we can all take part in that solution individually and collectively.
Well, we can try. Of course, what's it say about the situation we're in where the good news is when a 3,000-year-old forest isn't burning down that bad so far. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I talk to the trees, but they don't listen to me. I talk to the stars, but they never hear me.
Yeah, I wonder how many people actually know where that song comes from. Yeah. That's Clint Eastwood, by the way. You were not mistaken. That's Clint Eastwood singing I Talk to the Trees from the musical Paint Your Wagon. I wonder how many shows that run the Green News Report today will have someone to point that out. You know, where in the hell did that go? Well, ask Robin. She knows. But there's nothing like a good Herb Cain joke to get the comedic impulses running here in the Horn Family Community Congregation. Herb Cain in the 999th Circle of Hell. And then, wait a minute, says Lee in New York.
Mr. 999 donated to a 111 fundraiser. I did not expect to count on him. Oh, that's just awful, Lee. That's just awful. But it's also quite funny. Randy Radar, what are you going to work on dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone? Herb Cain went up Trump's butt, but never came out. Oh, dear. I don't even know. Just please. No. No, no. Whoa. Ah. Hmm. And this, by the way, and so, yeah, where we stand, $128 away from finishing fundraising for last week. It would be awesome if we did that. Thank you. Thank you, one and all. Because we're about the halfway mark of the program. Now, Canoodlia had their election yesterday, and as I said, Justin Trudeau, his government survived. And there was a candidate on the ballot for the People's Party of Canoodlia. And I'm just wondering, can somebody in the Horn Family Community Congregation Ad Hoc Research Department look this dude up? He was trying to win a seat in the Canadian House of Commons from the Vaughan Woodbridge district of Ontario. Where's Ron in the soon to be far frozen north when we need him? Mario Greco. Greco. Mario, just like it sounds. Mario Greco, among other things, is a high school teacher, and he wants to be a wannabe politician from the People's Party of Canoodlia. And in addition to being a political candidate, he's apparently a video game designer. And the video game that he designed, maybe this is big news in Canada, and it just hasn't gotten down here yet. I don't know. By the way, in regard to the election in Canada last night, Brother Deacon Asa says, the cons got a taste of their own medicine last night. They got the popular vote and couldn't form a government. In fact, they lost 2 seats. Pretty sure it had to do with Mr. Toole saying he was pro-choice, or I'm sorry, he was, where'd it go? That he was pro-choice and pro-carbon tax. Them is deadly words in maggot land, and, well, yes, they have maggots in Canada. So Mario Greco, high school teacher and aspiring member of the House of Commons in Canada, designed a video game called Happy Culture Shootout. And he thought he was being cute and being clever. The story can be found over at Queerty. And the thing is, in the video game, players, and he designed this back in college, but he doesn't look that old, so college was not that far away, very likely. In the video game, there's a pride parade, and the player gets to perpetrate a mass shooting at the said pride parade. Yeah. The American disease also has a way of crossing the border. In Happy Culture Shootout, Greco tried to defend his vicious little game by saying, well, they're not dying in the game. No one's dying in the game. There isn't a single person that dies in the game. They're beams of light. No one's dying. They're being sent to Happy Land because the goal was to end war and discrimination. But the problem is the game doesn't involve shooting haters, but rather involves shooting innocent bystanders. And the creation of happiness occurs when you remove people who are victims of discrimination from the land of the living. Yeah.
Greco sounds like one of these 4chan, 8chan types, because back in college, somebody did criticize him and said it was the most racist game he's ever seen. Well, my friends and I love people of all cultures, and we also love humor of all types, hey? That includes harmless racist jokes. This, okay, see, that's the thing. There is no such thing as a harmless racist joke. Because it is, because by virtue of the fact that it is racist, it is at someone's expense. This game was intended to make a joke about how ridiculous cultural stereotypes are, so we can all laugh about it together and move on with our lives, eh? I'm adding all the A's. And it was all a big joke, and how do we know? Because, well, some folks looked into his social media past and saw where that Mario Greco referred to critical race theory as a cancer. Also published a hand-drawn picture of Pepe the Frog. Yeah, that's a neo-Nazi image from a couple of years past. And, of course, well, has publicly stated, I'm not going to get that Bill Gates liquid barcode magnetic COVID vaccine either, eh? Again, I'm adding the accent and the A. And, of course, he owns his very own maggot hat. Kind of checking all the marking all the boxes on the maggot bingo card, isn't he? Do we know if the guy won? Is he actually going to be in the House of Commons of far frozen Canada? By the way, the instructor in the class where he designed the video game did insist that Mario Greco could not include a game level where people scored points by shooting Jews. Yes. Yeah. Isn't he clever? My goodness gracious. I really want to find out that this guy did not make it. That's actually kind of important to me. You know what I mean? Sure, right. Meanwhile, let's run over and check in with Steve.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
When you started talking about the election, I follow it very closely. No PPC won any seats in the House of Commons.
Good. Brother Deacon Asa just said the same thing, so he gets to go back to be... Wow, he's a public... He's a school teacher.
Right.
And you got to wonder what he's teaching the little scholars.
Right. The other thing... But what I did notice is... Well, the guy who founded the People's Party was a former conservative MP named Maxime Bernier. And they had a... It's right out of the maggot playbook. No masks, vaccine passports are tyranny. We want our freedom. It's the same thing. And in fact, they went so far as I believe their victory thing was in Alberta, and they had at the venue where they were inside with no masks. And there is a mask mandate for inside activity, even in Alberta. And I was watching the CBC last night, and the CBC reporter said if they had gotten caught, or if the police had showed up at their rally because of the no masks, their response would be just to move it outside. So I mean,
it's a safe bet that here in a couple of weeks' time there'll probably be some dead CPC types.
Well, of course, PPC.
Okay. PPC. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, regarding the election last night, there were some actually big upsets that the conservatives pulled off in defeating two cabinet members. Cabinet members are also members of the House of Commons. But they defeated – it was either two or three cabinet members, which were a big deal. And in fact, my understanding is actually the PPC did make a difference. They didn't get elected in they're called ridings. I never understood what that how they came up with that, but a district is a riding, R-I-D-I-N-G. And they did make a difference. I didn't see in which specific ridings they made the difference in, but they did. The Greens up there are almost as hapless as they are here. The NDP, which is kind of like the Liberals are more of a center left, and I guess you would probably call the NDP the New Democratic Party as a progressive, like a what a progressive party would be. But I think essentially what happened was they had this election. I think I had read it was $600 million or something, $300 million. It was a really expensive election for such a short period of time. It was a complete waste of time, and in essence, it really is a pretty big defeat for Justin Trudeau, because the whole point of him calling the election was apparently the polling right before he called it looked as though the Liberals would gain a majority, so he could govern with a majority government. Now they'll have a minority government. And what it comes down to is he wanted the majority to be able to push his agenda that he ran on 18 months ago, to push that. And that's kind of what he thought. They'll have another election. You know, my understanding is the prime minister can call an election, but they have general elections at given times, but the prime minister can call them before that. That's kind of the way I understand it. What I had seen was a lot of people were just basically angry at Trudeau, because the view was, why are you? This is not. You should not be doing this right now. They saw this, at least from what I had seen in polling, as nothing more than kind of a quote unquote power play on his part. Now, given that it's politics, and my view of politics, that doesn't bug me. That wouldn't bug me. What I think he was very stupid in doing was doing this during the pandemic, as you're seeing cases throughout Canada starting to go up again. I mean, they're in the middle of a fourth wave, and in particularly in Alberta and Manitoba, they're having serious issues with hospital beds and ICUs and all that type of thing. But in the end, I think it almost came out the breakdown in seats of the Liberals, the Conservatives, the NDP, and the Quebec has its party, the Bloc Québécois, and the Greens, I think, won one or two seats in the House of Commons. It wasn't any different. I think the Greens may have lost a seat. I know before Parliament dissolved, there was a person who was a Green Party member in the House of Commons who had switched to the Liberals. So it went from 3 seats to 2. I think they maintained 2. So they only had – I mean, they had one less that they had last time only because that person resigned. But, I mean, in the end, it was a waste of time is what it comes down to. But I think what that's really going to weaken Trudeau. The other thing is it will probably weaken – the guy who was the conservative – head of the conservative caucus is named Aaron O'Toole. And I think it probably will weaken him as well as leader of the Conservative caucus, because he had frankly a good opportunity here to really paint Trudeau into a corner, and he didn't do it. He ended up being it was no better. He didn't do any better. I think his actually national vote tally was about the same. It went down, I think, what I had seen, 0.3%. So all this effort, time, and money, and was
wait, no, 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 gone. you don't get to say all this time because it was 25 days.
Well, it was 36 days.
Okay, anyway. Well, okay, quibble then.
Yeah, oh, I know. But you know, and I mean,
the Republicans can't even get the sleaze machine going up and running at full speed in 36 days.
True. But this Bernier, Maxime Bernier, I've watched it, and they talk about the gay agenda. There has got to be a conservative agenda. There has to be, floating around.
No, there is.
It's the same, Robin. It's the same language. It's not even similar language. It's the same language. It's the same signs that have misspellings on them. It's all the exact same shit.
I have no doubt.
And, you know, my partner, he's like, oh, I think Justin Trudeau's going to lose, blah, 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 blah. And again, from everything I thought that they would lose a few seats. I just didn't. It just struck me as, you know, what hurt Trudeau the most was, you know, there was a couple things, but I think I suspect one of the things that hurt him the most was he had no business calling an election right now. I mean, why would you do that when there's a general election? I think it's in 18 months. So why would you? And I think that was something that in particular, didn't really excite people either way. In terms of turnout, I didn't see any numbers on in terms of turnout, what their turnout is. My understanding is their turnout is not a lot different than what our turnout is. It might be on the middle to high 60s, but it's not like, you know, a lot of European country the European countries' turnouts, like Germany is very high. France, I think, is pretty high. Scandinavian countries are pretty high. But like the UK is, I don't believe, is terribly high. I wouldn't see anything changing except, even with the same number of seats in Parliament, Trudeau has even less chance of passing his agenda now because he looks, you know, there's an awful lot of people going, I mean, I can imagine people in his own caucus saying, what was this all about? So, but we'll see. I don't know, maybe that's more about Canadian politics than anybody cared to hear.
No. I think among other things, Canadian politics are kind of like a thermometer of how it's like taking your temperature, you know, somewhere besides where you get 98.6 just to find out how the fever's spreading.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Yeah, particularly now, because you have this. Look, you and I have talked about this and emailed about this. There is a real, I mean, right-wingism. I don't even want to call it fascism because I think that's too narrow. But I think right-wingism.
Right-wing authoritarianism.
Yeah, is on the march. I thought it
globally,
was...
Globally, again.
Globally.
I made the world's largest democracy is a perfect example. I referenced the so-called love jihad laws.
Yeah,
I think last week in India, and it kind of made my eyes go, what? Because, well, it's a reminder that democracies can do horrible things too. Plato told us so, and India is proving it. You know, you take a nationalist majority whipped into a frenzy, and, well, they've got the majority, and that's democracy, and, well, fuck all y'all. And there's, you know, but there's a reason that democracy is attacked wherever it exists right now. I mean, is China, and again, not beating a war drum here. I'm so not. But authoritarian regimes aren't having a problem because they're authoritarian regimes, and they crack down on this shit, and they say, see, we don't have a problem. Look at y'all. Y'all can't keep your shit together. And of course, they're the ones who are fronting all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to be a paranoid in order to think that that is the case, because there's direct evidence of it. This is, I mean, it's being perpetrated on a homegrown basis, but it is not being funded and driven on a homegrown basis.
Or at least not entirely.
Well, I've got a story here. There's a couple of them, but one in particular. It turns out, you remember the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville in August of 2017?
Oh, yeah.
Well, some of the organizers of that thing, it turns out, were on payrolls. They were paid. They had jobs, you know, capitalism. They had jobs hustling this hate. And a lawsuit, the way we know, is because a lawsuit, Passive Voice, was filed by the victims of the attack, of the Unite the Right rally. It is called, let me see, where's the stuff? Signs versus Kessler, S-I-N-E-S versus Kessler. And in it, there was a huge disclosure of some 3,000 exhibits entered as evidence by the plaintiffs. It goes to trial next month. And among those exhibits, one key member of the Unite the Right attack, an organizer by the name of Elliot Klein, was about to get on the payroll as a full-time employee of one of the groups. And so, you know, this is a well-funded neo-Nazi operation.
Right. Wait, what was his name?
Klein. Elliot Klein. Elliot Klein.
And I have to... the irony.
No, it's K-L-I-N-E. I don't... you know.
No, the guy was probably Jewish.
Yeah, he wrote in an email, I'm about to double down in the movement harder than I already have. I asked her if she thought it was a good idea. She was excited, and now she wants out. It's too late for me to turn it down now. Half the reason I took the opportunity is because I knew I'd be able to support her with it. It's secret, but I'm taking over Identity Evropa from Nathan, and I'm going to be paid from private donors some good money. And 2 weeks after the rally, lo and behold, Elliot Klein took over Identity Evropa.
Isn't that was a
and he had a message from Richard Spencer. Remember Richard Spencer?
Yeah.
He said, "Also, we're going to pay you." And Klein wrote to Jason Kessler of Signs versus Kessler, "You and I should get used to speaking daily now. Now that it's my full time job, and I'll be much more available to you." And I didn't know this, but prior to the rally, there was an Instagram post where one of these neo-Nazis advocated running over protesters with automobiles.
Which, gee, I wonder where that was.
Remember,
that
is exactly what one of them did.
Yep. Heather Heyer, was that the woman he murdered?
Yes.
You know, this is another case of projection, Robin, here, how they always accuse us of somebody paying us to go to protests when, in fact...
Right. Anything they accuse us of is something they've already done or plan to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much note this will get, but there was a humongous data dump from a hack by Anonymous. Anonymous.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anonymous hacked and dumped 150 gigabytes of so-called private data from an outfit called Epic, E-P-I-K. And Epic is, among other things, a technology and web hosting company that goes out of its way under the guise of internet freedom to host right-wing authoritarian websites. And they provide domain hosting services to QAnon goobers, Proud Boys, other people involved with the insurrection of January the 6th. And researchers are saying, this is amazing. The Washington Post had the story and refers to it as the data dump as a Rosetta Stone to the far right, helping them to decode who's been doing what and with whom over several years. And the news broke last week, and now the data is beginning to be analyzed. There's a hashtag on Twitter if people want to look it up, Epic Fail, E-P-I-K-F-A-I-L. It's going to be months' worth of analysis. Megan Squire, who teaches computer science at Elon University and is a specialist in right-wing online extremism, says, it's massive. It may be the biggest domain-style leak I've seen, and as an extremism researcher, it's certainly the most interesting. It's an embarrassment of riches. Stress on the embarrassment. And oddly enough, it's not offshore, Steve. It's right here in Merca.
Well, according to Epic's website, they're based in Switzerland.
No, they are based in the Seattle suburb of Sammamish.
Yeah, that's the 206 area code.
Mm-hmm. And so, among other things, they took on, the shitty outfit, Right to Life in Texas or whatever? When GoDaddy dumped them?
Yeah, which it was the,
They've hosted 8chan. Yeah. They've hosted 8chan. They hosted Gab. Parler. All kinds of cue ball assholes. At one point in time, they briefly hosted the Daily Stormer.
Jesus.
And of course, Texas Right to Life. But a lawyer for Epic said, well, we stopped working with them because they violated our company rules against collecting people's private information. Never mind any other legitimate objection to such sleazebags and gut buckets. But, well, because it's Titanic Tuesday and because the goddess of irony watches over this program, the founder of Epic is, and I don't know if he went to court to get this name, or maybe it's just how things work out because goddess of irony. The founder of Epic is a dude by the name of Robert Monster. Among other things, you remember when the monster got loose in Christchurch, New Zealand, and slaughtered members of the Muslim community there. Well, Epic reposted his manifesto and live streamed the fucking video. And Robert Monster says, well, we're just keeping the internet uncensored and free. And helps advance these claims by the right-wing knobs who say that Facebook and Twitter done shadow banned conservatism.
Hmm. This is interesting. I'm just looking them up. It's very interesting. Because what I'm seeing is that there's another company called Anonymize, which they seem to be affiliated with. But
and Robert Monster is having a bit of a hissy, though. He says there's been a hijack of data that should not have been hijacked. Don't use it for negative purposes, y'all. If you have a negative intent to use that data, it's not going to work out for you. I'm just telling you, if the demon tells you to do it, the demon is not your friend. And the stuff that's coming out, some of it hasn't been verified yet, but it's one of those moments where you go, I'm not, why couldn't this be true? one of the administrators of a local Proud Boys forum, according to these leaks, is an employee of Drexel University. Drexel, however, said, no, no, I hadn't worked here since November 2020.
Gee, that's an odd time to stop working.
I know,
there.
Isn't it just?
What was going on around then? I can't think.
Some 50 of 100 domains registered to Epic are affiliated with the Stop the Steal slogan. Just, but this is, you know, to get back to our sort of thesis here, this is an organized effort. Period.
This has RICO written all over it to me. But, you know, as you know and I know, RICO is one of those laws that I always thought sounded great, but...
Well, God knows it was used to nefarious purposes in the wrong hands, you know, when a Republican was in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow or another, we have a hard time using it for good. Kind of like the Sherman Act that way, I guess. But this is here's a lawyer story for you. You'll get a kick out of this. There is there's a law firm in New York State called Mukasey Frenchman LLP.
Mm-hmm. I know who they are.
Well, Mark Mukasey was counsel of record for Eric the Dumber in the civil fraud suit filed by the state of New York against the Trump family business. You'll notice the verb tense I used there. He's filed one of those motions to be relieved as counsel thingies.
What they're not paying.
Mark Mukasey of Mukasey Frenchman LLP informed a New York State Supreme Court judge in Manhattan that he was withdrawing from the case on September 14th. The move comes one day after a judge's order to seal a stipulation between the parties was filed. Before that agreement, the docket shows no activity in this case since January. It's not clear if there's any connection between the agreement and Mukasey's departure. And the published report in Forbes said to Mukasey declined to comment on the record for this story. He's represented Eric the Dumber in the case since it was filed in August 20. Eric and representatives from the Trump Organization have not replied to inquiries.
God, I keep wondering who sent who is.
I mean, there are just some people that these sleazy pettifoggers can't, you know.
Mm-hmm. Eric, I almost think Eric, I was going to say he's you know, even sleazier than Don Jr., and
But if you were going to hang, if one of them's going to get hung out to dry, it'll be Eric, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because Trader Tot has dipshit's name, and, well, Princess Iwanka is Princess Iwanka. And yeah. It's interesting that this story comes out in the wake of stories in the last couple of days saying that lawyers for Alan Weisselberg, the bookkeeper for the Trump mm-hmm. Organization, mm-hmm. Represented to court that he expects to see more charges filed.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
Oops.
Yep, somewhere.
I mean, I realize that we're just, you know. We're just tying strings to push pins in the great big beautiful mind board of life, but still.
Yeah, I don't know, the whole thing. You know, I've gotten to the point where I don't look at them. Like Sidney Powell and all these people, I don't look at them and laugh as much as I used to. Because, I mean, Giuliani is the one I just think is a clown. And Lynn Wood, well, with a name like Lynn Wood. There's something... almost intelligently nefarious about her. She just strikes me as somebody who's not stupid.
Wait, who?
Sidney Powell.
Oh, no, she is machinating.
Yes, she's cunning. Maybe not whether she's well. You know, if you can find that ABC interview, you should watch. It's only the one that I saw was like only 7 or 8 minutes. And the irony, when I saw it, I saw a Anderson Cooper report where he was reporting on ABC's interview. And then I went and watched the actual interview, and I thought to myself, Anderson Cooper is too oblivious to know that as hard hitting as that ABC person was, he should have been embarrassed that it wasn't American media asking these questions. It wasn't American, because that's right where the reporter said to her, she says, we looked up Smartmatic and Dominion only used their software in one place. And like I said, it was in LA County. And this look on her face was like, on Powell's face was like,
what?
What?
Like and a cow looking like a cow looking at a new gate.
Yeah, like a cow looking at a new gate. And she says, "Well, I think they were much more involved in that." And I thought to myself, "So you just you know, and that was right along with the MO." Where just say shit, because you know that you know that the American audience, particularly the American media, they are not going to do their homework and realize that you're lying. And at one point she says, what do you work for, Dominion? You sound like you work for Dominion. And the woman just, it was great. The journalist just sat there and stared at her, didn't smile, didn't get defensive, none of it. It was great. And at one point Powell said, well, I think we're going to end this interview.
Yeah, I think we better.
And then somehow they convinced her to come back. But she just, I mean, that's the only time I've ever seen her look like a fool. And if we had a media that was worth a damn, that's how she would look here. You know, in on the efficacy of the media, that point, you know, when you, whatever you think about the BBC or you know, ABC, say in Australia, you look at a BBC interviewer interviewing any member of parliament, any.
Yeah, they're not allowed to mail it in.
Yeah, they don't mail it in. And I saw, what's that little dweeby dude? Ben Shapiro. Yeah.
That's Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby.
Oh. I mean, super maxi. Just somebody dumber than a sack of doorknobs who talks really fast and thinks that if he talks really fast, that means he's smart. Well, there was an individual, I can't remember the guy's name, who interviewed him on the BBC. And the guy who interviewed him is a known conservative journalist. And he brutalizes Shapiro. And at one point, Shapiro says, well, you know, you're clearly a leftist, blah, 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 blah. And the guy says,
No, I'm actually not.
Yeah. He's like, he says, you obviously have no idea.
I'm a fucking Tory.
Yeah. Who I am. And it was great. But that's the one. I mean, BBC does have its issues where it's a little too deferential sometimes to the government. But sometimes. But as a general rule, and I find the CBC to be that way too, they don't have a problem saying to a politician, you're lying. That's not true. And here's this thing I'm going to show you which says that. Whereas here, you get Joe Toad and people like that who all they don't care about being a journalist. What they care about is having the marquee names on their program.
Access.
They don't even have the big, I mean, when it comes to Joke Toad, he doesn't even have the big names. He just has big Republican names.
True, true.
There was some sort of an analysis recently. Democrats have practically disappeared from his program. Of course, who was it? Disco Dave did the same thing. So did Tim Russert, who was alleged to be a real, live, honest-to-goodness, no-kidding journalist. Right.
I'll be honest with you. I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say, you know what? All this shit I used to hear about how hard-hitting Tim Russert was, I remember thinking, wow, either you sound like you don't know what you're talking about, or you really don't. I am not a fan of Rachel Maddow, but I give her credit. She doesn't go to the correspondence dinner. She doesn't work to hobnob with all these people.
No, I mean, there is still an aspect of, because I think within that realm, it's unavoidable, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
The addiction to access is everything, because if people start telling you no, you're not going to have a program anymore. But she doesn't just chase right wing wackadoodles to have the access. I just ran across this one though. I got to share this. This is just so goddamn beautifully stupid. I mean, this is everything that is Titanic Tuesday, Steve.
Also, we're about to see some 36 double D fake brains.
Yeah, we got some. Oh, this is beautiful. And of course, now that people are getting their hands on the Woodward and Costa book, Peril, they're pulling the, because, you know, in all these Bob Woodward books are just chock-a-block with little nuggets. And it really is good at selling the book. And so tucked away in the pages of Peril, you get the idea people were just itching, Steve, to just please, get me Bob Woodward. Please, send his eager young protege. I don't care. I got to get this off my chest. I got to tell somebody. So, Precious Lindsay, you know, Lady G.
Yes.
It was playing golf with Nitwit Nero, and they had formed a threesome. Now, it sounds all dirty and such, but they are threesomes in golf. And it's just playing golf. And they were in a threesome with 85-year-old Gary Player. And he's legendary on the PGA Tour, Tour champions, mm-hmm. and 85 years old, and of course Gary Player is from South Africa, right?
Oh my God, I can just imagine. I can't wait to hear this.
I know the setup just lets you know something beautiful is coming.
Yes.
And so as Woodward and Costa related, on the one hand, Lindsay was there to try to get President Trump to stay loyal to the GOP. You know, be loyal to your team, Donald. But on the other hand, Gary Player at 85 was trying to tinker with, because great golfers cannot resist, some cannot resist tinkering with a bad golfer's swing. Now if you just do it this way, it, mm-hmm. right. Now, open your stance just a little bit. I'm working on my South African accent. It still sounds entirely Australian. But, no, well, and Gary Player said, now what you need is more control. You need to tame it down, swing less extravagantly. We'll just pretend it's a South African accent. And so, somewhere along in here, Gary Player says, well, what you need to do is build a golf resort here in Africa. You know it's on the way, right?
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
You ready?
Got the hockey. This is one of those things you don't want to be right.
Well, when he suggests building a golf resort in Africa, probably South Africa, a country, not the continent. So, yeah. Well, Nitwit Nero, in all of his wisdom, you know, I had a Republican tell me the other day that he was a brilliant businessman. It took me a good 15 minutes to stop laughing. And, you know. So, upon the suggestion, because he's always into building a golf resort here and a golf resort there, and right? But he turns to Gary Player and he says,
"What happens, Gary, when two lions look out and say, you know, that's a pretty thick guy. I'd like to eat him. Let's go eat him."
Oh, God. the copy apparently says Trump was joking. Gary Player says, "Well, they've got fences and stuff." To which Trump responds,
"You mean they can't climb over a fence? If you get in a Jeep, they won't come into the Jeep? How do you know they won't come into the Jeep?"
At which point, Lady G pipes up and says, "I'm not betting my life on it." Somebody get me a margarita and a Darvon. I'm dying over here.
You know, I don't know. I'm sitting here. I'm laughing, but I'm also crying.
I know.
Because you want to say, "Oh my God, we had a 7-year-old for president for 4 years."
Oh, I think that's being generous.
"You're not my friend anymore, Mike."
"You know, if you won't do this, Mike, I don't want to be your friend anymore."
He honestly said that.
Yes, he said that.
"And I'm going to bully you on Facebook and talk about how ugly you are."
"And if you put IL at the end of your name, it says pencil."
I know. Breathing. Yes.
It leaves one speechless. It really effing leaves one speechless. And I have to rant for about 3 seconds here. I really wish people would stop referring to things that Trump has done or said as, "Oh my God, this is just," or the GOP does. This is just unbelievable.
No, I believe it all. My confirmation bias is off the chain.
Yeah. When I hear, "Oh, this is what Trump did. Oh, this is unbelievable." Or, "Oh, what the Republicans being against the debt ceiling. That's just unbelievable." And I want to say, no, it's not.
Were you here? Somewhere, the minute that issue came up, Ted Cruz, "Ooh, that makes me want to eat a booger. I'm all excited." It's salty and delicious.
I would just once love to see somebody, "Yeah, Ted, that debate where you ate a booger, have you done anything like that since?"
No.
Nope. And I can just imagine some big long tongue coming LARP out and wrapping clear around his head.
Well, there's video. That's exactly what happens.
Ugh. Makes me nauseous.
Makes me nauseated.
Yeah, that too. Well, listen, I wanted to call in and just talk about Canada for a bit.
And look where it wound up. By the way, Billable Rick pointed out something, and maybe you can address this. Mm-hmm. He's speculating that Mark Mukasey, who just bailed out on Eric the Dumber, is the son of former AG Michael Mukasey, under AG in the Reign of Error of the Dim Leader administration. Yeah. He said, same circuit, same area, not a common surname.
What's his name?
Mark Mukasey, M-U-K-A-S-E-Y.
Mark Mukasey. By the way, is that case in Virginia you talked about, is it a federal case or a
The article did not make that clear.
Okay. Well, I would
assume
case,
it's a federal case because it seems like there'd be diversity jurisdiction all over the place.
Right. If you want to check out to see if it's a federal case. I can get it off of Pacer for you.
Okay. Well, maybe look it up. I mean, it might be interesting to see what kind of a document dump that is. But, you know, you actually work for a living, so going through 3,000 exhibits is probably not.
What do you mean, I work? Don't, you know, the implication there is...
Okay, you practice for a living. That. You practice for a living.
Yeah, one of these days I'll actually get it right. I mean, when I look at Michael Mukasey and Mark Mukasey, they look an awful lot alike. But I don't know if...
No, they're probably brothers or father and son.
I think they look more father and son.
Yeah.
Because, what the hell? He actually seems much more disgusting. I don't know. Notice of withdrawal of appearance. Oh my God, I hate this guy. Now, the judge that's on the case, I actually have been before him. This guy is so goddamn stupid.
That's one of the oldest lawyer jokes in the world. You know, what do you call a lawyer with an IQ of 53?
Your Honor.
Your Honor. That's why I said what I said about the Arkansas felon sitting in prison filing the lawsuit against the doctor who said, "Yep, I did an abortion." He said, "Well, I want to see the thing tested in court, and I'd kind of like to have the $10,000. It could go a long way in the canteen here in the stir."
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's his. They're father and son, by the way.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But I said, if I was the judge who got that case, I might, under ordinary circumstances, as a Texas trial court judge, you go, well, you know, I rule in favor of the fetus fetishes. But in this case, he might not appreciate having, because this is just going to make a big hot stinking mess for every trial court judge in Texas. And they don't particularly want to work all that hard. I mean, remember, Louis Asparagus Gohmert was a member of the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals. They're not put there for their legal acumen. And so, I don't know. That judge may well look at this case and go, yeah, definitely unconstitutional. Get the fuck out of here. We're not having a trial. Yeah. Bye.
Or, whoa, you mean I got to work? And I don't have a clerk to deal with this. Shit. Interesting. Well, listen, my good dear, I'm going to get running here. I'm actually finishing up some work, and I have some stuff to get to a client tonight. But I just want to call in and talk a little bit about the Canoodlia, since I take somewhat of an interest in it, given my hope to be living there at some
point.
Well,
it's interesting you would mention that, because Flavio pointed out escape to Canada is not an alternative. Canada's population is a fraction of the U.S.'s, but they have even more neo-Nazis per capita than the U.S. Canada has only 40 million people. People forget that detail. The U.S. is 333 million, and the Nazis are still a minority here.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Of course, you're not going to go anywhere near Alberta.
Yeah, I was going to say the nice thing about Canada is that the Nazis are at least kind of concentrated in a couple provinces.
And what would that be?
Alberta and Manitoba.
Okay, that's what I was guessing. And you know, we haven't heard in forever and a day from our dear friend up in the Northwest Territories. I wonder if he's okay. That you just reminded me.
I think those two provinces when you refer to the prairies, that's what they're referring to. I talked to my partner. I said, "What would you think about moving up to Nunavut?" And he's like, "I'll have none of it." It's funny. Nunavut is by area the largest province, but it's only got 30,000 people.
Wide open frozen spaces.
Right, open frozen spaces. It's, I think, probably 50% of it's above the Arctic Circle. So.
And yeah, it gets to like 55 degrees Fahrenheit. On the summer solstice or something, right?
Something like that. If that.
I am displaying such a breathtaking degree of Arctic Circle bigotry. Climate change is real. And I have no doubt that this coming winter, when we are freezing our little tookuses off here in Appalachia, I'll probably open a website and, "Oh, well, 75 degrees in Anchorage today."
I'm going to take my winter vacation in International Falls because I want to see some warm weather.
I know. Of course, I'm going to spend a couple of the bad weather months at least in the so-called sunny south. I mean, it still gets cold down there. It gets plenty cold. And in fact, the cold that it gets down there is a sort of wet and hateful cold, so Northwest Alabama at 39 degrees is like here at 20.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there a lot of wind? I don't know anything about Alabama geography. I guess being closer to the coast would mean it's windier. Is it?
Well, it's not. No, I mean, come on, it's 350 miles from the coast.
Oh, okay.
But it is. What happens is storm systems tend to move southwest and northeast, and so they come in off the Gulf and they blow up and they run into cold air systems, and then that magic happens. But mm-hmm. the winds will blow across the Tennessee River, and it's a bone wet, bone chilling. I mean, it's humid there in winter, and cold and humid sucks a bunch.
Oh, let me tell you what, and you know what? It doesn't have to be that cold. When it's cold and damp,
yeah, that's the whole thing.
It goes right through your clothes to the bone. It's. I couldn't agree with you more.
And so I've got issues. Mm-hmm. I've got issues trying to figure out how I'm going to stay warm this winter because so many things are changing, and so I don't know. That's one of the reasons I hate to see warm weather go, because all the women move from cool and breezy and comfortable into leggings and tights for 6 months. Groovy. And by the way, Nunavut is there just so the Ruskies don't get any dumb ideas. That's what Brother Deacon Asa says.
I love that. That's hilarious.
Nunavutians can see Russia from their house. I know.
Light bends rounder. That when I heard that, let me tell you what. When I heard that, I was
Sarah Palin is so dumb.
Oh, she said it to her. Is it so dense? Is it true you're so dense that light bends around you? That is priceless. One other. When you're down in Bama, are you gonna be
on the air?
No, that's not what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Are you going to be anywhere near where it's a possibility of taking in a tide game?
Well, I mean, season one. The possibility exists theoretically, but I'm not going to take in no tide game with no goddamn COVID.
True enough.
And the thing is, even in the middle of a pandemic, I probably couldn't scalp a ticket to a Tide game for anything less than $500.
Yeah, no, I know.
And that would be nosebleed.
Mm-hmm.
They did, but you know what? The Tide was a little bit lucky this past weekend.
They played Florida played them pretty well.
Yeah. But I was so terribly proud of my Mountaineers. They played with real character. When Virginia Tech had the ball with a couple of minutes to go, and they could actually score a touchdown and the field and the extra point would win the game, I just turned the car off and I said, "Well, there we are again. Snatch defeat from the jaws of victory." And because anytime the Mountaineers run up a score in the first half, it's like, well, I know what we're going to be doing in the second half. Draw! And lo and behold, in the fourth quarter, they did it to us. The VPI gobblers ran a quarter. I swear it was designed to, you know, the young wet behind the ears announcers didn't notice it, but that was a designed quarterback draw. Dude had been getting sacked left and right. The Mountaineer D did a fantastic job keeping him on his back, and so he dropped back to pass, and then fuck it, and it was what, third and 42, and he picked up 43.
Wait a minute. Are you kidding?
No!
I mean,
No! I was like, we are so screwed!
It never worked for us!
That ain't fair! But, no, they got in the thing. Well, we're done. So I just turned the car. I was listening in the car. Because my permanent subscription that I paid for to TuneIn, now I have to pay more if I want to get Mountaineer games on TuneIn. So I was in the car, so I just turned off the car and went in the store and said, fuck it. And I checked later, and lo and behold, on fourth and goal, Virginia Tech passed with time running off the clock, and one of our secondary knocked it down. And I've never been happier. I was proud of them. We're 2-1. And we'd be 3. You know what? We'd be 3-0 if it weren't for the damn four turnovers against Maryland. Mm-hmm. I'll probably get hate mail over that, but no, Bear Bryant, Woody Hayes, that guy from TTUN, all said the same thing. You know, you can't hand the football to the other team and expect to win the game. And I know you got to go, but one other thing. A little bit.
No, go ahead. No, I'm
decorum, or not decorum, but to this day, down in Talabama, Paul William Bryant is referred to, though he be long dead, as Coach Bryant, and every other football coach of every other SEC school is referred to as Coach, and. Our none-too-terribly talented play-by-play guy for WVU refers to, and granted, dude looks like he started shaving last week, but he seems to be a decent young talented football coach. He's not that young. Mm-hmm. But during the broadcast, he kept referring to the head coach of the West Virginia University Mountaineers, who just renegotiated his contract to a cool nearly $4 million a year, in one of the most broke-ass states in the Union. But he refers to him as Neil. Well, Neil's team is going to remember. I'm like, dude, please. Neil.
You know, it's interesting. And I don't remember this. But as I recall...
I mean, did they call Woody? I guess they did. Did they call Woody Woody?
Woody. And they call Bo Schembechler Bo.
Yep. And, of course, when he was at TTUN, they called Rich Rodriguez that motherfucker.
That seems to be actually a common way of referring to him. Although I was listening to a TTUN podcast, and the guy on there made the point that as much as he hated to say it, they were actually had a better record under Rodriguez than they do under
Harbaugh,
who is,
I think that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's true. Well, I think Rodriguez beat Ohio State at least once.
And well, see, the whole thing was they had to get rid of Rich because of, well, shit was going sideways with Big Hair Rita.
Who's Big Hair Rita?
His under God one man and one woman Christian wife. Because Rich Rod is a bit of a, or was a bit of a bounder, rounder, womanizer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and apparently the reputation and the behavior followed him, allegedly. But they hated him because he wasn't one of their guys. And the same thing applies up at or down at Alabama. You know, well, you can't hire him. He didn't ever play football for Coach Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, meanwhile, Ohio State's like, guys, wait, Coach, where? Utah? That's cool. Bring him.
Yeah. Who? Who was the guy that coached Utah?
Well, he coached and Urban Meyer.
Oh, but he did have tie. Well, he's from Ohio,
right?
But he also had ties to.
There you are, mispronouncing your own state's name again.
Yeah, Ohio. I think he actually was a coach under Earl Bruce.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But listen, you know as well as I do that there are certain rivalries. Bama, Auburn, Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah, you need both teams to be good so that the rivalry means something.
And the coaches, that there's something in the blood with those teams. That if you're not from one of those teams, or you didn't play there, you didn't coach there, you don't quite get it. I remember when John Cooper was there, and I don't remember this, but apparently at the press conference where they introduced him, he said it was just like any other game.
Yeah, that's not, no, don't do that. Oh, well, you know, when Coach Bill Curry was at Alabama, mm-hmm. You know, I think the loyal Tide fans burned a yellow jacket in his yard. Because he was from Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah, no, never mind. That was bad. But
that's the point.
And of course the collapse of the Big 12 and it just drove me crazy. This makes me nuts. The Big 12 is the most useless, ridiculous, non-geographic conference in the United States. And so the SEC came calling, and they courted Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC. And so West Virginia's still sitting there sort of hanging out in the Big 12, and the ACC won't give us a bid. I mean, this is like Fraternity Rush, and you got spinach in your teeth or something.
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean, at least if we got a bid into the ACC, we'd have some of our natural rivals back. Pitt, Virginia Tech, nominally a border rivalry with Virginia. I've always felt like WVU needed to, you know, because way, way, way back in the day, WVU was part of something called the Southern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were a Union state, but we are below the Mason-Dixie line. And it would make sense for us to have a cross-border rivalry with Kentucky. We're not that far from Tennessee.
I was going to say, what about Tennessee as well?
And we've got a long history with South Carolina. And we've actually played competitively in interconference games. With SEC teams, but no. I guess, it's all about the money and it's all about the TV market, but really the Oklahoma market's that big? I mean, I understand the Texas market.
I mean, there are Yeah.
But if Missouri, I want Missouri to swap with us. Missouri to the Big 12. They get their rivalry with Kansas and Kansas State back. And we get, you know, something that makes a hell of a lot more geographic sense. And now they're bringing, and now the Big 12, with the exodus, the Big 12 is bringing in what? Cincinnati and Houston. Houston.
Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Jesus, God. That doesn't make any sense. Cincinnati seems kind of interesting this year.
Well, no, they're interested. They're a big time program.
But I think I see a lot of people talking playoff with them. Is this going to be the first year of the expanded playoff?
Offhand, I can't think. I can't think if that's the case or not. Oh, by the way, I've got to send out some thanks. Thank you very kindly to Mark. Thank you, Mark, so very much. We are down to $28 to go to get done with funding for last week. And here's the thing. I had a note from Ralphs who said a little bit ago, if by the end of the week $128 is raised, I'll contribute $128. So we are $28 away from actually getting a significant start on Monday.
Wait, end of the week or end of the night?
Well, Ralph said end of the week, but this is Tuesday. So, but if we could do it, but it, you know, end of the week also includes end of the night.
Okay. Oh, true. True enough. True enough. Well, listen, I am going to get running, but make sure you send me that info.
Yes,
I have something I want to send.
I will.
That person.
I absolutely will.
Listen, you take care of yourself, okay?
All right. You have yourself a lovely evening, and you know, enjoy your night in the Big Apple and all of that.
Yeah, I'm in the process of trying to move because I'm a little too far at the end of the stem. I can't really call myself as in the Apple anymore.
Ah,
I'm far out. So
okay. Well, you have yourself a fine evening, and we will talk soon.
Okie doke.
All right.
Take care now.
See you, Steve. Bye. Steve, from the end of the stem in the Big Apple, which is the far end from the blossom end. Yeah. Sorry about the college football talk. We do that sometimes, and I know it just makes, you know, eyes glaze over and people's eyes roll back in their heads. And I know. I apologize. And let's see, over on the stress line, we got Randy Radar. Hey, Randy.
Hi, it's Randy Radar with another home economic tip. I don't know if I covered this before, but, you know, Tom Selleck on TV selling reverse mortgages.
Oh, dear God, yes.
Well, it turns out that someone did some research into reverse mortgages. Tom Selleck is the right winger, and at the actor. And when they did the research into reverse mortgages, they found a nasty clause. It says that if the home that has the reverse mortgage on it is unoccupied for 6 months, nasty things happen to the home contractually.
Such as?
Now, there are many people who are elderly who go into the hospital and stay more than 6 months and the home is unoccupied.
Oh, and then they foreclose?
Something like that, or there's nasty clause of along those lines. Yes.
That yuck. That's just, and you know you mentioned he's a right winger, and these things get hustled, especially in right wing broadcast outlets, because these are the people who will fall for that shit.
No, they get hustled all over your TV.
Oh, like, yeah, no. But I would say they probably have their greatest success with right wing outlets.
Yeah. And he says this is not a scheme to take your home. So Anyway, I just wanted to point that out. I don't know if I pointed it out before, but like it's just another nasty capitalism type of thing. If you're into socialism or democratic socialism at all, there's a Doctor Who episode with Tom Baker, the fourth Doctor, called The Sun Makers, which is kind of interesting. It takes place on Pluto in the future, and like it's a work camp basically run by profiteers. And of course, Doctor Who gets mixed up in the whole thing, and like takes the whole regime down. Of course, but that this thing would be allowed on British television at all is a shock to me. So,
well, and let's see, how many Doctors back is the fourth Doctor?
About nine.
That's what I thought. So that might be far enough back that the UK was still actually practicing sort of socialism.
Right, yeah. So I'll hang up now, but I just wanted to give you that tip on reverse mortgages, that it's got that nasty clause in it, and people should be aware of it.
That's terrifying. Terrifying indeed.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Randy. I appreciate it. You take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Stay safe. Bye now. That's our pal Randy Radar in PA. Yes, actually, it is the difference. Steve's locale, Larry in Liberalville, says, is the end of the stem opposite from the floor of the core? Yes, because the core on the floor is not a pretty thing. I mean, that's basically what happened at Chernobyl and, well, Fukushima. With Sunmakers. Leah New York notes, they say, praise be the company. And Steve, with one last note. I wanted to say thanks on the air to John Britovo, but I forgot. I need to thank him for talking about his shingles, with shingles, and his admonition to get the damn shingles vaccine. I got it last week and made it a bigger priority, largely because of what he said on Friday on the front porch that day. Well, John will be tickled to know that, and it's... shingles is nothing you ever want in your life. I had the one-shot vaccine, what, 5-6 years ago? And at some point in time, I'm going to get the Shingrix. Frank! Thank God that's not on the air anymore. But it seems like during COVID is... the wrong time. And I'm just trying not to do... Not, I might get the booster if I can sneak in and get a booster. I might do that before November 9th. But I'm just super duper double plus extra paranoid. Trying to just maintain my health between now and time to go. You know, assuming that like I get to do wild and crazy shit like pay my insurance premium. Huh? Yeah. But I will let John know, Steve. Thanks for that. You know, since we started this Titanic Tuesday program with the story of the reverse psychology of John Nolte over at that website that rhymes with light and fart. I mean, he's an editor at large. Does that mean he gets a check? Well, never mind. Imagine getting paid for what I read, for writing what I read to you. Breathtaking, isn't it? And not even The Onion. Just a real quickie. Working from the what was his name? The Harold Camping. Working from the Harold Camping playbook, Mr. Meth Pillow has recently changed the date of Nitwit Nero's reascension to the White House. He now says that the Supreme Court of the United States will have to wait, the maggots will have to wait till the end of November for the reinstatement of Nitwit Nero to the White House. This is the big announcement, everybody. I made a promise to this country with all the evidence I have that we'd get it to the Supreme Court, and I predicted they would vote 9-0 to look at the evidence. Yeah. Originally, I'd hoped for August and September. I asked all the lawyers just yesterday. We're taking this case all the way to the Supreme Court before Thanksgiving. Now, maybe Fox will report that today. You heard it here first, he said to Steve Bannon, the man who looks like hot dog smell. You heard it here first because our case is ready. We're bringing it to the Supreme Court before Thanksgiving. Yeah, the evidence is 100% non-subjective evidence, and that the Supreme Court, they're going to vote 9-0 to take it in. We'll have this before the Supreme Court for Thanksgiving. That's my promise to the people of this country. Yeah, and we're all in this together. We're in it together. We worked very hard on this. Yeah, because after all, my cyber symposium down in Florida was a total home run. It was the best success we could ever ask for. Woohoo! So mark your calendars. It'll be after Thanksgiving. Hopefully, I'll be up and around for that because I'd hate to miss that. Thanksgiving falls on the 20... Nope, that's October. Thanksgiving falls on the 25th day of November this year, so the Supreme Court being the Supreme Court, well, I guess that'll be either the 26th, the 29th, or the 30th. And it won't be the 29th, I don't think, because that's when Hanukkah begins, so it kind of has to happen on November the 30th. It would be nice if they had... Well, but he couldn't say the 30th because that's way too much precision, even for a disciple of Harold Camping.
Right.
And, y'all, we are $18 away from finishing funding for last week. Thank you very kindly to Brendan. Brendan, thank you so much. We are $18 away from finishing last week, and if we meet that, Ralph's will kick in $128, and that'll leave us $174 to finish yesterday's funding. And remember, we've got 7 more days of $111 Freedom Through Unity challenges, courtesy of Larry in Liberalville. So thank you very kindly, Brendan, for getting us within so close. So close a space of finally wiping out funding for last week. The cyber symposium in Florida, Ralphs asked, was there one? Well, yeah, there was. I mean, it was either a cyber symposium or a circus or a traveling veterinary clinic. I mean, it's entirely up to you. But like I said, we were talking at the beginning of the program, and I like to put nice, tidy, cute little bows on the program when I get the opportunity. So, insofar as John Nolte, editor at large of that website that rhymes with light and fart, has said that people aren't taking the vaccine, maggots aren't taking the vaccine because, well, they don't want to die, but they also they want to keep owning the libs, and they don't want to get the shot and feel like Bill Gates' little cuck, and therefore the organized left is trying to bump off all the maggots. I know. Well, consider the plight of a fellow by the name of Dr. Thomas Dobbs. Okay? He is the head doctor for public health. And I really feel bad for him in the state of Mississippi, Stan. The place that has the highest death rate in the United States and most parts of the world from COVID-19. And because he is the director of public health for the state of Mississippi, Stan, he had to get on Twitter recently just to try to correct the record. And as Mayella Yule said in To Kill a Mockingbird, it don't come to nothing. It don't come to nothing, Mr. Finch. All your ma'ams and your Miss Mayellas, they don't come to nothing. Because he's talking, of course, to a state absolutely chock-a-block full of maggots, and the people he's talking to are maggots. Because since he's the director of public health, and since he has offspring, and his offspring is studying to be a lawyer or a doctor, and his offspring's spouse works and studied finance in college. Well, on Twitter, Dr. Thomas Dobbs spoke as follows. Because, see, he had warned a month or so ago that Mississippi Stan was about to get its little Mississippi butt kicked by another wave of the Rona. And so not too awful long back, that was back in July he made that warning, but he tweeted, "I have received some threatening phone calls and want to clarify any confusion there may be with some conspiracy theories going around. Conspiracy. My son works for Dr. Fauci in D.C. My son's wife has financial connections with the World Bank Group." Because this is what these geniuses do. And he continued and said, "Every time I promote COVID vaccinations, my son gets a World Bank-funded kickback. Imaginative, no doubt. But all lies," all caps. "Truth. My son is an MD and Masters of Public Health student in the D.C. area," because he ain't silly enough to say what school he's at. "His wife is an MBA student and worked at the World Bank Group before grad school. They are completing their studies through their own personal finances. There are no World Bank Group funds involved." All caps. "I am very proud of them both." And why wouldn't he be? "I get $0 from promoting vaccination. Stay informed and keep yourself and your loved ones safe by getting the vaccine." Now he was tweeting all this stuff a month ago. It didn't work. Because, as noted, of just about anywhere on this sweet little blue-green marble time machine hurtling through the universe in its helical way, your odds are greater of dying from the Rona in a benighted, poverty-stricken state in the United States of America than they are in some of the more remote reaches of the world. You got a greater chance of dying of the Rona in Mississippi than you do in Bolivia. Sorry, I done slipped into Mississippi Stan, boys. You have a greater chance of dying of the Rona in Mississippi than you do in Burkina Faso. A greater chance of dying of the Rona in Mississippi than you do in the Seychelles. Because, see, the maggots are all convinced that since his daughter-in-law worked for the World Bank Group before she entered grad school, that proves that there were Chinese loans, and that somehow proves that China developed COVID-19 as a biological weapon. Whew. Now, all that having been said, and without intending or trying to work Alex Jones's corner or anything, you might recall a month or so back that I made mention of the fact that all of this all of this talk about China developed a weapon and turned it loose on the world, scared the shit out of me because it felt a lot like people were itching for a war with China. And please remember, we had the clip earlier in the program of Wallace Shawn saying the first great rule is never getting a land war in Asia. It's just how things happen here. But I feel vindicated in that fear. Because the stuff coming out from Peril, the book by Bob Woodward and Bob Costa, has a lot to do with the fact that the Chinese were getting kind of antsy, thinking that Nitwit Nero was one flat Diet Coke away from starting a war with them, which China does not want. Wars are expensive. Wars wreck economies. And after all, Sun Tzu's The Art of War comes from there, and they literally wrote the book on it, and the first rule is, don't get into a war if you can possibly avoid it. But the Chinese were seeing and hearing things that made them think that Nitwit Nero was feeling kind of bellicose. And it filters back to General Mark Milley. And Mark Milley then, according to Peril, sits down with the generals. Remember how Trump told him?
The generals.
And says, nobody does shit without you talk to me. And, of course, he's got four stars on his shoulder boards, and he's talking to people who have one and two and, you know, no stars upon bars. No, there's never a bad time for a Sneetches reference. And he says, anybody wants to do anything, you come to me first. And then he goes one by one around the room and says, got it? Yes, sir. Got it? Yes, sir. Got it? Yes, sir. I know. It amazes me, too, sometimes. It's an intuitive kind of thing. And you can't necessarily say why in the moment when it's happening. But you kind of just sit and stew in all the information. And then all of a sudden, scales fall away from eyes. Pieces fall into place. And you go, son of a gun. That's weird. But once again, you know, if you're part of this community, you're so far out ahead of the curve that we feel like we're on a straight road. And this is another one of those cases. And we were frighteningly close to the shit hitting the fan. They were ready to run a coup against constitutional governance in the United States of America in order to keep a man in office who was one spirochete away from, shall we play a game? Global thermonuclear war. And I guess the dipshit never saw war games. No spoiler, it's an old movie. Where you have to go all the way through the movie to watch the computer finally learn that by playing tic-tac-toe, that the only way to win is not to play. And we got all of that here. And I'm kind of stunned by it. I don't know if anybody else made that connection. But when it dawned on me, I freaked out a little bit. This is not self-aggrandizement, and this is not blowing smoke up my own skirt. It's just that when you see it and when you hear it and when you feel it, maybe it's worth pursuing. And I said at the time that all of this business about it started in China, it was a bioweapon, was pure casus belli generation bullshit. And it looks like I was right. Damnedest thing, huh? So that's the program for this evening. I have enjoyed it immensely. I hope you have as well. I hope you've gotten some value out of it. I hope it means something to you. And I thank you for all, I thank all of you who write to say that it does. And who call to say that it does. That is immensely gratifying. And it makes me feel good about these nearly two decades. And so we'll hopefully next little bit maybe round up another $18 so that we can I can send a note to Ralph's and say, hey, we did it, and we'll have a fighting chance at this week. I know it's hard. I know it is. But nobody said anything happening on our side of the political aisle was ever going to be easy, because everything is arrayed and aligned against us. There's a reason this program doesn't have a bunch of corporate sponsors. We talk about things that corporations don't want talked about. So, thank you all very much. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers, partial sponsors of the program. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much for making this ongoing attempt at conversation and liberal progressive broadcasting possible. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time on this little planet engaging in this conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Gene, don't ever worry about using the F-word. The F-word is fine. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is head on .live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of Congress and ask them, please, if you've already done it, ask them again if they haven't signed on yet. Please co-sponsor H.R. 2073. This session of Congress is rapidly running out, and we need co-sponsors. The Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, it means the world to Appalachia. It really does. And please stay safe. Get your booster whenever that opportunity arises. Stay away from large crowds. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer frequently, liberally. Take it with you wherever you go. Wear your mask. Maintain your social distance. Here's a hint. You can't do that at, say, Bridge Day in West Virginia when there's 100,000 people butthole to belly button. You can't do that. And big old football games and the like, you can't do that there either. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you saying, you know what, I ain't going to get the COVID because I got angels on my shoulders, avoid that person like the plague, because she is. Later.